Exposing GOP hypocrisy. The Rick Smith Show.
The budget to make America first, to make America great again. That's what we're getting, man. And again, I keep going back to John Edwards. You know, the two Americas frame. If this is America, if this is America first, which America are we talking about? It's certainly not the one I live in, because cutting Meals on Wheels, that's going to harm people in my neighborhood. Cutting LIHEAP, that's going to hurt people in my neighborhood. Bad, bad, bad stuff. Anyway, here to talk about this and, well, all the other stuff that went on in this insane week, our good friend Isaiah Poole, communications director there at People's Action. Isaiah, thanks for taking time for us.
It's totally my pleasure.
So what do you think? America first.
But I think you're absolutely right. Which America are we talking about? You know, one of the things that I thought was really ludicrous was having white Republican males, particularly Mick Mulvaney over the Office of Management and Budget, who concocted this budget, and then some of the Republican members of Congress who then defended this budget on cable news talk shows, talking about, you know, what a single mother in Detroit would be willing to spend her a single mother in Detroit would want to spend her tax dollars how she would like to see her tax dollars spent. I'm like, how does a rich white Republican male understand the priorities of a single mother in Detroit? And why do they think that she would rather see her dollars spent on expensive weapon systems than on education for her child, food for her grandmother, housing for herself and her neighbors, these kinds of things.
Infrastructure, so she
doesn't. Or infrastructure, you know, or even the fact that there is public television programming that she can put her child in front of that she doesn't have to pay extra to see on HBO, which, by the way, is where Sesame Street went.
I would argue that they played the poor game for an hour or maybe for a day when one of their getaway retreat seminars, and now they know what it's like to be poor. They played the poverty board game.
Yeah, but you know, it's not a board game, and we both know that, because you know we you and I have probably lived on different sides of the tracks in our lives, but we both grew up kind of poor, and so we know what it is. And we know that it's not a game. I mean, low-income people, both of them work extraordinarily hard and have all kinds of walls, all kinds of barriers against them. And what these programs do is that they are little legs up. They're little lifts that they get along the way to make sure that they don't fall into utter, that their lives don't completely collapse.
Right.
And that they have an opportunity, a chance, a rung that they can use to get up on that ladder. And what we have done in this budget, if it is approved by Congress, is that we are taking rungs off that ladder. It is very, by the way, un-Republican, as we have understood Republicanism in the last 30 or 40 years, because a lot of these, the community development, the reason why these things are block grants, that came out of Republican administration.
Right, but I would argue, Isaiah, that you know this is exactly who this Republican Party is. You're talking about 30 yeah. years ago. That was an yeah. entirely different Republican Party. 50 years yeah. ago, an entirely different Republican Party. This, yeah. these are radicals. These yeah. are hooray for me, the hell with everybody else. Me, mine. Yeah. These are the spoiled brats who someone didn't smack when they were a child.
Well, that's exactly right. I remember when conservatives railed about us liberals and progressives being a part of the me generation. And we have seen that in spades reflected in this budget. And, you know, my argument has always been that, you know, it's the idea of community and the idea that we are all in this together. And government programs at their best are an expression of that, that we are a community that helps each other up. And we just create, you know, we create agencies and programs that are tools for making that happen.
Right. But you've heard this frame, Isaiah, you know, probably as much as anyone. And a lot of it was during, you know, the Reagan years, the welfare queen and all of these lazy people. And I heard it again during this campaign that, you know, we're getting rid of these programs because people, you know, they've got it too good. You know, those poor people, they got to get up and get a job. Come on, Isaiah, get on board.
But maybe the programs that maybe these assistance programs do exactly that. They either help people get into work. That's a lot of this that's in the Labor Department, for example, that are being cut. A lot of these rural development programs that are being cut, the community development grants that are being cut, a lot of those programs precisely help people get work. They precisely help communities become places that private industry would want to invest in. They are also provide assistance to people who are already working because we know that there are millions of working poor people in this country who you know, these services, whether you're talking about food stamps which aren't being cut or things like, you know, if I know that my grandmother has access to something like a Meals on Wheels program, for example, as a working person, that's one less thing I have to worry about. You know, and, you know, that, and I think that as a community, I think that's important.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, again, you look at budgets and priorities and all of this, and I've been saying, you know, for the last couple of days, this is the priorities that the Republican Party holds dear. These are the priorities that they ran on. And, you know, there's part of me, you know, there's that part of me that goes, the only time things change is when there's crisis, when there's pain, when there's suffering. The only way you wake people up is when it affects them and slaps them across the face. You know, would you come along or entertain the notion that maybe we deserve this? Because, look, I mean, I look at the election of Donald J. Trump as our president as one of these moments of, you know, maybe we need something to smack us awake.
I have entertained that myself. And, you know, I often wonder, you know, is it going to take, you know, if you can't miss what you can't measure, I think is the old saying. And in other words, you know, you don't appreciate things until they're gone.
Right.
And maybe this is, you know, I hate to think that this is what you have to come to in order for us to have the kind of sea change we need. Yes, there are things that are happened that are, you know, can these programs work better? Absolutely. Should there be efficiencies? Absolutely. I would argue that there is a new wave of progressive thinkers and people who are beginning to run for office who have thought quite seriously about how government has failed working people in the past and who are going to bring in new ways of doing these programs so that they are more effective and more efficient. But that's the approach. You don't just kill things. You work to make them better.
Right, but
that's
you,
the
again,
problem with the healthcare debate. That's the problem with the healthcare debate.
Right.
The only thing that Republicans, the only tool that these radical Republicans seem to have in their toolbox is a hammer to break things.
Yep. No, I mean, look, you know, my grandfather always said, look, it takes you 20 years to become a carpenter. Any idiot can tear a house down. It takes you a while to learn how to build one. And what we're seeing is any idiot tearing down the house.
Well, that's precisely right. And, you know, who thought that building a house would be so complicated, to paraphrase.
Or getting people health care.
Or getting people health care, precisely right. As far as the health care bill, we saw the House Budget Committee push this thing through to the House floor. Regardless of that Congressional Budget Office report that says that 24 million people are going to lose insurance by various means, seniors are going to pay a lot more for their health care. On the 23rd, there are going to be actions all over the country. Our affiliates are going to be leading some of those actions to say no to this bill, to say to the House, kill this bill before it kills us, because it actually will literally kill some people. I mean, I don't think that's not hyperbole.
No, absolutely not. Look, if you can't get the care that you need, and look, and to be honest, the Affordable Care Act plans are not even all that great. I mean, the problem that I have is they should be much, much better. You know, I've been saying for a while we should have given it over to the unions and let the unions take care of it, because their health care plans are far superior than anything on the exchanges. But at least it's something. It's that safety net. It's that you don't have the hard downs. You don't end up in absolute bankruptcy and poverty because you got sick.
Right. Well, the thing that we have to just reconcile ourselves with at the end of the day is this fundamental fact. There is no place on planet Earth that has a successful health care system based on the free market. No industrialized country has a true free market health care system, and the United States won't have one either, so get over it.
Right. So you're saying the invisible hand is not going to cure all of our ills?
It just won't. It's not designed to. It's not intended to. Healthcare is not automobiles or iPhones or, you know, anything else that you would sell on the market. You know, it's not something that just say, oh, you know, if I happen to want healthcare, so I'll have it, but you know, I'm a little short on change, so why don't I not have health care? I can get that another day, but that just doesn't fly.
Yeah, but the Republicans have planned for that. If you do that, we'll charge you 30% more.
Exactly. and as we said before, you know, that surcharge for people who allow a gap in their insurance company in their insurance coverage beyond a certain amount. You put a 30% surcharge on that. What is a working person going to do if they turn around and say, okay, I'm going to buy that insurance again, but I have to pay a 30% surcharge, and I'm going to have to take that money out of the money I feed my kids with or the money I pay the rent on?
Hey, you've got choice. If you saw Tom Price the other night, it's all about choice. You made a choice. You've got the choice to do that.
But we're talking about making choices to have people sicker and potentially die.
Not their problem.
That's the choice that we're making. And that's an immoral choice.
I get you. I'm with you.
And that's why we got to stand against it.
So on the 23rd, what's the plan then?
Well, on the 23rd, you know, I understand there's going to be a couple of thousand people in a demonstration in Washington. That's the plan. We are going to be posting on peoplesaction.org over the weekend a section on health care. And also there will be on our Resist Trump Tuesdays page some pointers toward actions that you can take in your that will either be happening in your community or can that you can do in your community. But the point is that, you know, if the House is going to make the stand on the anniversary of the passage of the Affordable Care Act to make this big show of how they're going to dismantle it, we need to make a big show that, no, we defend a system of, first of all, we defend the Affordable Care Act, but we're going to move beyond the Affordable Care Act. As you pointed out, not perfect. We need to build on it, and I think have to move eventually toward a Medicare for All solution.
I'm right there with you. And that's where we'll have to leave it for today. And again, that's something we'll pick up on next week, because to me, that's the answer. Moving from this to the next phase, absolutely the answer. If you want to check out more about People's Action, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on Isaiah's name. Isaiah, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate working with you.
Always great talking to you, Isaiah Poole. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.